The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
We've got John Clayton who comes on our show here at Denver once a week. And, you know, for the last, like, 8 weeks, we've been like, all right, John, what's going on in Seattle? Is Pete getting fired?
Let me guess. It's stupid.
You nailed that one.
No.
I want.
They're wrong.
I want cheesy posts, Mom.
They're just wrong.
No, Mom. Cheesy posts.
All right. Hey, welcome to it. We have a fun night of action tonight as the Avalanche are taking on the Ducks in Anaheim. The Nuggets have the Clippers. Let's get a little revenge on those guys. That's happening down at Ball Arena. Both games start at the same exact time. Why? Because they're both on national TV, so it's an 8 p.m. or later start for the Nuggets. We'll see. And then, you know, they're just in L.A. area, Southern California. So, you know, puck drops at 7 to 8 o'clock our time. So you have both teams on at the exact same time, both on national TV, both available to watch, which is bonkers.
Who do you love? Who do you love? Who you gonna watch?
Well, you can watch. You can watch both at kind of the same time.
Now, or you can just admit. You can admit the one that you choose. You'll have a preference. You'll have one that you watch more. Of course you will.
I will be.
I'm gonna watch the Nuggets because I'm more curious about it. And the Avalanche, I just expect them to go out there and just destroy somebody like they always do.
Well,
so
we'll see.
I will watch the Nuggets to just get a little sampling of
it. But you could have the Nuggets on ESPN, then have a device on TNT. They got a mobile app. They do their sports live on TNT.
Oh, so yeah, I know how technology works.
Do you not like watching sports like that?
No, I don't. I'm not a huge red zone guy. I like watching actual games, but no, I don't go back and forth. I pick the thing I'm most interested in, and I watch that.
Oh,
I mean, I might flip back and forth once it hits the commercial break, but I'm definitely not watching on two devices.
Dude, I watch.
Because you know, what I need my other device for, I need to scroll Twitter. That's what I got to be doing on my other device.
Well, that makes sense, too. I always have a couple things going at the same time. I'm bad. Maybe three or four things going at the same time. It's ridiculous.
So we found out if Dan Quinn went to dinner last night or not. That's what we really got to find out. Did he go to dinner? What did he order? What was the food?
Hold on. We
just got to know this. I mean, if they went to dinner, I think that's a good sign. I don't think they did, though. I just know this. Mike Kliss likes reporting on the menu, and we did not hear any reporting on the menu. So I don't think they went to dinner.
Well, I did dig around that today, and I did not. I dug around. You know what? I'm going to dinner. Or DQ, and I'm going to send this to two people that could give me the answer. And let's see if we get a response.
I bet no.
You bet no what?
There was no dinner.
You bet there was no dinner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let me do one more here.
I think Dan has got a lot on his schedule. He knew he had the Vikings interview the next day. You know, it's like, let's get in, let's get out. I get to choose here. You know, I don't need to sell myself on you. I don't need to go to dinner.
So today you think is just, do you think today was just kind of a waste of time with Mayo and Gannon?
A complete waste of time. I mean, I see absolutely no qualifications from either one of those guys to become the next Broncos head coach. Mayo is a more interesting, like, if we just want to take a complete flyer, like, we just want to take a swing on somebody mm-hmm. that we know you are not qualified, we know you do not have the experience, but everybody we've talked to just talks
loves
about
you.
Who you are, how much they love you. That one, to me, is a more interesting swing.
Let me ask you a technical question about Mayo, then. What if Dan Quinn is your guy?
Okay.
Now, what's great about Mayo is he's the inside linebackers coach. So you don't have to. A team could not veto him if he's hired as a coordinator.
Right.
So what if this is all about how about getting this guy as your defensive coordinator? Who really would be working under Dan Quinn, who really would be the defense coordinator. Very similar to Fangio and Donatell. What about that?
Maybe. I guess I shouldn't say no to it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense on the surface level. The Patriots, for years and years, have been in a 3-4 scheme. And this year, they're technically listed as a 4-down, but they're a little bit of a hybrid scheme. Gerard Mayo is only known one scheme. Patriots. That's it. He's never been around stuff like what DQ is doing. Mm-hmm. And DQ runs one of the more unique defenses in the NFL. It's a 4-down front that kind of uses 3-4 principles. So maybe Gerard Mayo would be able to apply it, but I'm just saying he's never been around the type of scheme that Dan Quinn runs.
All right, let me ask you maybe.
And by the way, it's going to be Dan Quinn's defense. So whoever comes in, it's going to be somebody that knows how to employ Dan's vision.
What is the job of coordinators who are under a coach who really is the coordinator?
Yeah.
Like Bieniemy, what does he do? Donatelle, what does he do? What are their jobs?
That's a good question. I mean, it's basically game planning is what it really comes down to. It's install throughout the week. You know, install is regimented. And Wednesday, you do run install. On Thursdays, you do your pass game. You do red zone. It's very regimented. And so you've got different coaches that install different parts of the game plan. And your offensive coordinator is obviously the biggest part of that. So it's the film work. It's the study. It's the prep work. Some coaches are given more power than others, like Kevin O'Connell. He gets to actually script the first 15 plays for Sean McVay. And Sean runs it, which is a huge statement for Kevin, that Sean actually allows him to script the first 15. Eric Bieniemy, I don't really know what his exact responsibilities are, but it sure looked to me like he was calling plays this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how normal that is, how often that happens, but it really depends. And then there's other guys like, I don't know, Steven Belichick. Well, I don't know. I'd imagine that he's just saying yes, Dad.
Okay. I'm just trying to see how it all works together. I didn't get any response yet, but what did they have for dinner? Where'd they go? What did they? Did they have dinner? How intense was it? Was there a pitch to Dan Quinn? I'm dying to know.
Pitch. 100% there was a pitch. When you interview Dan Quinn, you got to go into it and you understand this is not my typical interview. I'm not trying to figure out his X's and O's. I'm not trying to figure out what his philosophies are. No, we understand that he's got 4 interviews lined up, that he's going to be the most coveted candidate. And by the way, George Payton knows him. So he doesn't need to learn anything about him. He needs to sell it. And it's the only interview that they're going to go in with that type of approach. Because the rest of them, you're trying to figure out what's Kevin O'Connell want to do? What's your philosophy?
Now, speaking as somebody who's been fired a lot, that means I've also applied for a lot of jobs.
Okay.
So it's a trip when you go to apply for a job and all of a sudden you find out in the interview they really want you. It's more about, you know, them convincing you to work there than the other way around.
It's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. It's awesome, actually.
But
it doesn't happen very often, but it's happened to me a couple of times.
Yeah, but have you ever been in the spot, and I guess honest question, not assuming, have you ever been in the spot where you were that wanted by multiple spots that it was a recruitment process?
One time.
It's like free agency. Like when I went to Jacksonville on opening day of free agency, I'm sitting in the GM's office in Jacksonville, and I've got Mike Shanahan calling me on repeat, and I get to tell the GM, I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, I got to take this call. I've got Mike Shanahan calling me. It was like perfect timing, right?
That's awesome.
So what Dan Quinn is going through right now, he's going through the coaching equivalent of free agency.
Right. Pretty cool. And then you just sort of say, and by the way, mine was minor leagues compared to all that. And at the end of the day, the two radio stations negotiate. One just got dropped out. Like, you know, they went back and forth a little bit. And then they were just like, you know.
Yeah, you can have them.
See
ya. I mean, he's a good candidate. But look, there's a lot of jacks.
Yeah, it was between WAAF in Boston and KBPI back here in Denver. And it all went the right way for me back in the day. And then they fired me because that's what happens to me. I get fired quite a bit. But for Quinn, this may... This is probably really unique. Not many guys are just, he is the guy.
Yeah.
He gets another team today, the Giants, looking for him. He's got 5 out of 8 teams that are interested in him.
There's only one other candidate that might be able to choose his destination. I think that's Nathaniel Hackett. And I'm not even positive he's going to have 2 offers. The rest of these guys, they will take the job that they're offered because it's likely going to be the only team that offers it.
I guess, unless, yeah.
There's not another candidate out there that I can guarantee you he's going to get to choose his destination.
It's a little tricky for those other guys in these markets because they know they're the runner-up to Dan Quinn.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you get over that real quick when you get handed a contract that's worth $40 million.
Gosh, will the Broncos win the Dan Quinn sweepstakes? That'd be pretty cool if they did on that level. Like, we're still that type of team.
If they do, the reason they win it is because of George Payton. That's the reason. Because Dan Quinn...
Explain.
Well, I mean, on paper, if you want to compare and contrast the pros and the cons of each organization, Minnesota, by far, the best destination. If you're just looking at roster, you're looking win now, they've got the quarterback, all of it. I think Denver comes in second of the 4 teams that he's interviewing with. But the big selling point would be the relationship with the GM. And I just knowing the way that Dan Quinn goes about his business, he operates just like Pete Carroll and John Schneider, just like Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. It's a true cohesive effort between those head coaches and GMs.
Yeah.
And Dan Quinn, that's how he's going to operate in his next destination as well. So what I mean is that he's going to choose George Payton more than he's choosing the Denver Broncos roster.
On the text line, why aren't the Broncos interviewing Brian Daboll? Well, we've had this. We get what you're saying. We've also brought up Mike McDaniel as well. And actually, we don't. Mike McDaniel, the offensive coordinator for the Niners. I actually don't know. You know, I am a little surprised because they still could interview a couple more guys if they wanted to. I don't have an answer for you on that one. I don't know what's going on with Brian Daboll. He might have a bit of a dicey reputation. I've heard he's a little salty. He's, you know, a little hard to get along with. But boy, oh boy, that guy just called a perfect game in the playoffs. He may have had the best offense coordinator performance ever in a postseason game.
Yeah, Dable's an interesting one because a year ago he was a very hot candidate. I think the only job that I'm aware of that he's been associated with is the Bears. Is there anything else this year? Eric Bieniemy's, I think he's got more interest than Brian Daboll does this year. And those two guys, it feels like for the last 2 or 3 seasons, have been the most coveted candidates that didn't land a job.
I think Daboll is a little pigeonholed in terms of leadership skills. That's my take on it. And for whatever reason, I don't know what the specifics are, but he falls a little short in that department.
Okay, so Kevin just said that he's interviewing with the Dolphins as well. I don't know anything about him other than what I watch. I mean, on paper, it looks like he'd be a hell of a candidate.
I will tell you this. The one thing from covering pro football for quite a few years, I have heard the same thing from every first-time head coach. Same thing. I didn't know how much other stuff I would have to do besides coaching the team. I've heard that a million times. And you hear it with rookies, like the game slows down in the second year. You hear that with almost every single rookie. Well, there really is no difference with head coaches either. They are always surprised by the other stuff. And you know what? I'm kind of sick of it because it's so predictable. I'm over it. I kind of want a guy who's not surprised by that. And that would lead me, obviously, to Quinn. I want a dude who knows what to expect and how to balance that and has already managed a staff.
Yeah.
It's the tricky thing about hiring a guy who has never had to manage anybody. Because
well, that's right. When you look at Gerard Mayo, I'm like, man, all he's ever done is inside linebackers.
Yeah.
At least Aaron Glenn has been a coordinator. At least Kevin O'Connell has been a coordinator.
Right.
Now, they haven't had to manage an entire team, but they're managing an offense or in a defense, and that's about as close as you could come to it. But you're right. Of all the candidates we're looking at, we've only got one dude that you could say he's got experience with managing the big picture stuff.
I've had some other people say, oh, I can't do the defensive guy, this, that. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But sometimes you need coaches in certain stages for certain things. We need a John Fox, specifically John Fox, that was such a good hire, by the way, for exactly where the Broncos were at that time. The bummer was John wasn't, and I don't know if Kubs could have done as well as Fox initially. I know Kubiak was better later on. Kubiak was definitely better once the team was better to get him over that hump. No doubt about it, unfortunately. I love my guy John Fox. But watching how Kubiak handled you guys in 2015 as opposed to 48 with Fox, I mean, it really was night and day. And it's where Kubiak shined the most. But I'm not sure how Kubiak would have done with a team that needed just they had to recover from Josh McDaniels. And Foxy was perfect for that. So who knows? But Quinn has been there, Tyler. He's well, so did John Fox. He couldn't quite get over it. So, but it kind of doesn't matter because this is the stage you are at right now.
Well, that's where you're at. And that's why you've asked me many times what's the most important thing for me in the next head coach. And it's not quarterback. It's not an offensive guy. Yeah, that would be great if it works out that it's an offensive guy. But the most important thing for me, I need somebody that knows how to get rid of a toxic environment. And toxic's a little bit of a strong word for the Broncos because toxic is like the Washington football team. I don't think we're toxic, but it's a tough environment, and it's an environment that has become accustomed to losing. Your best players on this team, Justin Simmons, for example, he's never won. He doesn't even know what it feels like. So I want a guy that knows how to get rid of all that bad juju, and that's not an easy thing to do.
I'll give you a crazy one, but I think it would work, but it's really outside the box. If Eric Bieniemy was hired as the head coach, he should hire CJ, our pal Charles Johnson, to be on his staff somehow. Because CJ is such a brilliant man and has worked in management before, while Bieniemy has all the cred that you can ever imagine to do stuff on the field, having a sounding board like CJ right by his side in terms of how to, you know, handle everything else. I know that is crazy outside the box, but having something like that could actually be, in my opinion, really, really interesting.
Well, what you're saying there is the next head coach needs to feel comfortable with the people he's working with. And there's definitely something to that. Like, there's a reason why a new head coach comes in and almost everybody gets fired. Because coaches, they're terrified of mutiny. They're terrified of allegiance. And who do you really, like, do you have the old coaches back? Do you have my back? Like, Josh McDaniels, the biggest mistake he ever did was keeping coaches that were not Patriots guys. Because there was a division on that staff. They were not loyal to Josh McDaniels.
BJ, it was Mike McCoy. McCoy was there. VJ really had very little to do with it, and it was a real problem. I guess there was a problem with Fangio and Scangarello, I guess, as it turned out. Although I don't know why Vic just didn't get his own guy in there. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right about that. You don't want a head coach who's just gonna just say, oh, okay, I'll just take all the old guys.
Well, it wouldn't scare me so much with this staff because in order for there really to be a threat there, the old coach had to be successful. And there's no real success that this current staff would feel an allegiance to the way that Vic Fangio did business. It's got to be somebody that, like, wow, when John L. or when Mike Shanahan was here, like, that was a standard. And when you bring somebody new in, I don't know, I'm kind of judging what you're doing. Like, if you want to keep Mike Munchak around, great, you should. He's a great coach. You want to keep Chris Cooper, you want to keep... There's a lot of coaches on this staff that I think you could keep around. And I don't think that he would run the risk of loyalty because who's going to really look back on what Vic was doing and think, oh, that was the way that we had to do business.
That's a fair point. But if you need a different culture change, I just think DQ is going to have offers. It'd be fun if the Broncos won it. So I think that's where we sit today, in all honesty, as we look at all these other things. It really is about, to me, the rest of these interviews are what happens if Quinn turns the job down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know the famous line is there is no plan B. We're going with plan A. The Broncos really do need to think about a plan B.
Oh, of course.
I think we can even today, you and I and everybody, can come to the conclusion, okay, we get it for a million reasons why the first choice is going to be Dan Quinn. He's going to get an offer.
Mm-hmm.
What is plan B? What would be the next best option?
Well, we're interviewing a lot of guys, and he casts a very wide net.
It's dicey after that, doesn't it?
It's a diverse net in terms of coaching styles. I mean, offense, defense, younger, older. I don't know. It feels like Nathaniel Hackett would be the number two there, but I don't know that there's an obvious number two choice.
I don't think there is either. I think you could make great argument because almost everybody's in. That is surprising to me why you didn't at least talk to Jim Caldwell. You didn't talk to
Doug Peterson.
You didn't talk to – it was just DQ, huh? That's it. That's kind of interesting that they didn't –
I think what it is that George Payton's an evaluator at heart. And that's what he's done. He's gone after back into the roster guys. He didn't get to make the big decisions in Minnesota, but he got to provide all the depth guys and kind of the diamonds in the rough. I think what we're seeing right now is George Payton saying, I trust my evaluation. I've got the best candidate. He's the guy I'm going after. And then after that, well, I don't really want to retread. I want the guy that I picked, that I evaluated.
And you know what? Because with all these candidates, except for Gannon to me, like, I don't know what we're and Mayo to a certain degree, too. I mean, come on now. There's just not enough experience there. But with every single other guy.
Aaron Glenn
would be rough, too, because he just hasn't been a coordinator all that long, although he's a little bit older. And I don't know. But everybody else you could get. I could make a really good argument for Eric Bieniemy, no doubt about it. Oh, Getsy, I couldn't make an argument for either, actually. You could make an argument for Getsy. But you could make an argument for Hackett, for Bieniemy, for Callahan.
That's interesting. You're kind of leading into something there. Like, how many of these guys are legitimate? How many?
Okay, well, let's just keep it real. We got to take I should write it down.
So
Glenn off, Gannon off, Mayo off, Getsy off. That's four guys off.
All right. Are the young guys legitimate? Kevin O'Connell, Kellen Moore. Are they legit?
Yes.
I think so.
O'Connell. So legit, O'Connell, Moore.
Yeah. Hackett is legit.
Hackett, Bieniemy.
Bieniemy is legit.
And then obviously you've got Quinn. Did you say Hackett?
I said Hackett. Yeah.
I feel like we're missing somebody there.
Well, there's 9 candidates, right?
Thought it was 10.
10? Is it 10?
Oh, man. Who knows? It is 10. All right. So not legit. Getsy. Right? Not legit. Gannon, not legit. Mayo, not legit. Glenn, not legit. So I only have 4 guys not legit. Anybody else that we can think of that's not really legit? Yeah, thank you, Kevin. That's good music.
Brian Callahan, did you say him?
No, you think he's not legit?
No, I don't think he is.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He's young. He's got very little experience. He hasn't called plays.
Okay, Callahan, not legit. So legit would be obviously DQ at the top, Hackett,
Kellen Moore.
Okay, Moore,
Kevin O'Connell, and Bieniemy. You've got 5 legit candidates.
Bieniemy. Okay, so it really is 5 guys: Bieniemy, O'Connell,
Kellen Moore, Dan Quinn,
Hackett,
and
DQ.
Yeah,
and DQ's at the top of the mountain. He's it, man. That's just it.
So then it's an assumption that we've made that Hackett feels like he's number two, but I don't know that that's a guarantee.
Yeah.
And then after Nathaniel Hackett, I've got no clue. Literally no idea who would be the leader in the clubhouse.
God, I would hope it's Bieniemy, but I see the hesitation. Actually, no, I think it would be. Actually, when I look at it, it probably would be EB. And you got to go back to the relationship he's got with Payton.
I don't think that George Payton would interview him unless it was legit.
No,
because
no.
He knows him. He's been around him. He doesn't even really need to interview Eric Bieniemy. Like, he knows everything he needs to know. So, yeah, he's probably high on the list.
So unless Kellen Moore blows him away, and whether O'Connell does, you know what? Plan B probably is Hackett or Bieniemy. How about that for some logicalness right there? So plan B.
Good.
Thanks. And you know what? I don't know. If who knows with Aaron Rodgers? Is Hackett just an Aaron Rodgers guy? Or do you see a scenario where it's Hackett even without Rodgers?
Dude, we've talked about this so many times, and if we hire him for Aaron Rodgers, we're making the biggest mistake in the world.
All right.
So yes, I hope that it's more than Aaron Rodgers. That's an idiotic plan.
All right. If you got an idiotic question.
Yes. An idiot can answer.
Yeah, dum-dums here. It's Mom Palumbus Speak coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son, a man of mythical and physical proportion, University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain, Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
You know, we're getting a couple of Ed Donatell related questions here, Tyler.
Sure.
So we can go there. Mount Palumbus Speak, presented by Plumline Services. Turn to the experts you trust. I might need some Plumline Services.
You could. Yeah.
My headphone.
Yeah. I think those are gone, though. I'm assuming you don't want them back.
Probably. It's probably best unfound.
Yeah, let that one go.
Yeah. I still have issues in that department. Plumline, I should give him a holler.
Okay.
All right. Got it, Rob. Yeah. If the Broncos hire...
Yeah, we got it. D-Man.
I got it. If the Broncos hire an offensive-minded coach like Hackett, did you see them potentially rehiring Ed Donatell as the defensive coordinator due to the Broncos' success last year? And we got another kind of same sort of question about Ed Donatell. Should they? So I'm combining some. So it's Ed Donatell. What should we do with Ed Donatell?
Mount Palumbus. Speak.
I think that's a great question. You know, I've been around Ed for a very long time, basically since my second year in the NFL. And then we just kind of bumped into each other a lot. We crossed paths a handful of different times. Ed Donatell is universally respected. Players love him. He's one of those guys that anybody that comes in contact with him, you just feel connected on a level that's deeper than football. And I know that has nothing to do with football, but it does tell you something about what relationships would be like. So if Vic Fangio were to leave, well, hey, we got a pretty damn good defense. Obviously, we don't get to keep Vic Fangio around. Obviously, he's not going to be the defensive coordinator. I don't see any reason why to start over. Here's the deal. The one, like, real negative that I see to Dan Quinn is that you do have to start over defensively, and you're going to go to a four-down scheme. It uses 3-4 personnel, so it's a little bit of a hybrid, but you're going to have to start over with a lot of personnel. And if you wanted to stay put, you hire an offensive-minded coach. Mm-hmm. You like the defense we've got right now. Ed is absolutely loved by the players. I think it's a good option. I really do. I mean, there's no reason to start over on defense right now. We've got something good. Our defense is good. The scheme is sound. The players are made for the scheme that we've got. Ed Donatell has been around this league for a long, long time. And honestly, the best thing I could say about Ed is he is a dream candidate to pass on a coach's message. Like there will never be drama between Ed and whoever his superior is. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy that knows how to just pass on the team message.
I saw a quote from Ed Donatell too last week. I think if he was given a reasonable offer by the Broncos, he would stay.
I'm sure he would.
He's not that, you know.
Well, tied to Fangio. I mean, look, no, he's not tied to Fangio at all. Ed wants to call plays. Everybody wants to call plays. He's been tied to Fangio because it's given him his best opportunity for the last 5 or 6 years. He's put it in the best spot. And yeah, technically he got a promotion coming to the Broncos because he got to become the defensive coordinator in title. Would he stay with the Broncos? Absolutely. And he's got a tremendous reputation in the building. So I'd have no conflict with that at all.
I have a fun ethereal question.
What? Hold on. Let me Google that.
Ethereal?
Ethereal. Sure. Maybe ethereal. Can I get the country of origin?
Jeopardy theme again.
extremely delicate and light in a way that seems too perfect for this world. Huh. All right, go ahead and say it. I'm going to try to figure that out.
Mount Columbus.
It's a P. Yeah.
First time?
No.
Was Gary Kubiak the worst coach for Peyton Manning? Not that Gary Kubiak was the worst coach, but was he the worst coach for Peyton Manning?
No, he's the best coach for Peyton Manning for where he was at in his career. He would not have been the best coach for Peyton Manning when he was younger. He wouldn't even have been the best coach for Peyton Manning 3 years before the Super Bowl run. Peyton Manning, he needed to be set free when he was in his prime. You got to let Peyton Manning do his deal. And Gary Kubiak, he runs a system, and it's definitely not a Peyton Manning system. It's an underneath center. It's a bootleg play action, wide zone system. But for where Peyton Manning was in his final year, Peyton needed a system. And I don't say that lightly. Like, I'm not trying to diss Peyton at all. But look, the reality was he was no longer the Peyton Manning of his youth. And without the system we had, I don't think he would have had the success that we did that year.
Peyton had a rough statistical year, but you won a championship. The defense, aside from Danny Trevathan and Malik Jackson, more or less came back. Ethereal. Out there in the clouds.
Wait. It says delicate and light in a way that seems too perfect for this world.
You ready for this?
Okay.
What if Peyton came back, in your opinion, for a fifth year with Kubiak? What do you think would have happened?
I think they would have been making another championship run.
Really?
They would have. I mean, they were one game out of the playoffs that year. They won 9 games yep. with Trevor Siemian as the quarterback.
Right.
There was a lot of good stuff. You had a lot of stars that were back on that team. It would have been a very similar vibe. It's not like it would have been electric offensively, but between Peyton and between Gary Kubiak, they would have figured it out how to make enough plays offensively that you would have won at least 11 games. I mean, shoot, if Trevor Siemian won 9, Peyton's going to win 11 or 12, and they would have been making a run at things.
Well, let me give you a more specific direct question, not ethereal. If that had happened, and you knew Peyton was coming back, would you have tried your darndest to play one more year in the NFL and stuck around with the Broncos if you could have?
If I knew, regardless of Peyton Manning, if I knew that the Broncos were going to offer me a job, I would have stuck around, yes. At the time, the Broncos were not offering me another deal.
Okay.
I had offers from San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I had offers from Chicago. But I did not have an offer from the Broncos.
Did you have, were you turned down by the Broncos? Were you like?
Well, I mean, turned down, it's more or less the same thing. I didn't have an offer on the table. Now, as that season progressed, I have no doubt in my mind that I would have been called in a heartbeat. I really don't. And had I kept the weight on and had I not come into this business, I have no doubt that the Broncos would have called me that year.
Did your phone ring during the season?
Not from the Broncos.
But from somebody else?
Yes.
During the season that next year after you had retired?
Yes.
How much weight had you lost?
About 50. It was impossible. It's a really funny story. I mean, the coach calls me. He's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm doing great. I'm sitting on the porch. I'm having a beer. He's like, oh, you've been staying in shape? I'm like, no. God, no. I'm in retirement. It's like, oh, but you still, like, how much do you weigh? Like you couldn't have lost that much weight, right? Like, dude, I lost 50 pounds. Okay, well, I was calling to offer you a job, but you're not doing a great job of selling yourself right now.
That is awesome. Any regrets about that?
Sometimes I look back on it and I think I should have grinded it out for another 2 or 3 years, but my kids were at a point where they were in school and I was going to have to make a choice. Do I leave them here? Do I make them move twice a year in the middle of the year?
Right.
If I knew the Broncos would have given me a deal, I would have played again. It's as simple as that.
How about if you knew the players' union was going to negotiate that 10-year pension sort of deal to pay ridiculous amounts of money if you got 10 years of service time?
Oh, I'm not even sure what you're referring to.
Oh, dude, if you got 10 years in,
well,
now,
10's not a magic number.
It is now.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's not.
I thought it was.
It's paid off years of service. So every year that you serve, you get an accumulation of it. There's nothing magical about 10.
Okay, I thought there was something new about that. All right, anyways. It's always fun to talk about. Okay, the Nuggets made a deal. Does that help them? And more on the Broncos coaching search coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
I appreciate just brought to our attention that there's a lot of Jim Harbaugh stuff going on right now.
Well, it's interesting. There's a lot of conflicting reports coming out right now. There's reports that this is all a huge smokescreen, that he really just wants more money from Michigan. And then there's reports from the same outlet that, yeah, he would take the Raiders' job. So it's like, okay, well, which one is it? I personally think it's very, very obvious what's going on with Harbaugh. The dude took a pay cut last year. He had a great year, and he wants to get paid.
I mean, okay.
Let's say
great spot to be in.
Let's say the Raiders offered him, what do you think they offer him per year?
12.
All right.
Because I think he would get to be a general manager type of guy, too.
All right. If they offer him 12, it's my assumption that Michigan will offer him at least 12, if not a little bit more. So let's say all things equal. You've got the same exact money, the same exact contract. What are you choosing?
Can I ask you a question before I answer that?
Sure.
Okay. How much do you think it bugs Harbaugh that he didn't win the Super Bowl compared to how much do you think it bugs Harbaugh that he didn't win a national championship?
Oh, I think the national championship is way more bothersome. Way more bothersome because he's alumni. It's been frustrating. He's been there a long time. He hasn't been able to have the success. I think that's a huge part of it. Maybe if you think that there's just this burning desire that I just need that Super Bowl in order to feel satisfied.
I mean, not only did
that would be the only selling point because otherwise, man, these college jobs, it's the best job in the world. You're judge, jury, you're executioner. You're talking to a bunch of local reporters that are just sucking up to you nonstop. Nobody challenges you on anything. I mean, it's like the best job in the world.
I'll give you just some special sauce with Harbaugh in the NFL. Not only did he lose the Super Bowl, and it was a darn close game. He got awful close to winning it. He lost it to his brother.
Well, I was going to bring that up. The only thing I could see...
And he is bizarrely competitive.
That's the only thing that I could see is that maybe he just wants to be better than his brother.
Right.
And the only way to do that is I got to go head-to-head with my brother.
There you go. He is really wired in a weird way where... Dude, would not surprise me if that's what pushes it over the edge.
He would be an idiot to not recognize that my personality is not going to work in the NFL. I know that he had a temporary success.
It has worked, though.
Sort of.
What do you mean sort of? He went to a Super Bowl.
Players hated him, and it was going to fold. It would fold just like Josh McDaniels folded. Because eventually, if your club hates you enough, well, they stop playing for you. And his personality, that works with 18-year-olds. It doesn't work with 32-year-old millionaires.
Nuggets 8.5 tonight. Woo, 8.5. Nice, Nuggets. What do you think? They put at least 9 over on the Clippers.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Let's go. I'm going to give a game ball to Tim Connelly anyway, so let's go, Nuggets. I'm in. I love it. I honestly cannot believe that the Denver Nuggets were able to trade Bol Bol again. They traded him once. All right, that was cool. Like, you got rid of a malcontent. And quite frankly, I think we got a better deal the second time around. And so every team knew that the Nuggets wanted to move on from Bol Bol. He's not that good. Nobody's really that interested in him. And he's hurt. The fact that Tim Connelly was able to pull off this trade and get something back of significant currency that's actually going to help the Denver Nuggets. Hey, man, Brent Forbes, he's going to play a role that the Nuggets need right now. Our three ball has been a disaster. Our shooting has been absolutely hurting the Nuggets over the last few games. And he's a good spot shooter. Zach told us he's a great catch and shoot type of guy. I think he's going to contribute to the Nuggets. But the mere fact that Tim Connelly was able to get anything for Bol Bol honestly is impressive. So for that, I give Tim Connelly a game ball. Congratulations, Tim Connelly.
That's it, man.
It was fantastic stuff. Fellas, it was great. A lot of Big Blue conversation today, so that's always fun getting to be able to just point that into Rich's face. Love it. Aiden Hutchinson. Oh, who knows who that is, right? Kevin, awesome job as always. D-Mac, you're the man. We'll get to hear everything Nick and Cecil got to say about this coaching search, and that's coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.